Blog Talk Radio.
Hello world, it's time for RTWFC Bible Talk with Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood and his wife Betty Yearwood. For the next 2 hours, join in with us in this Internet Radio Bible Discussion program. There'll be a special singing and call in and discuss the Bible with us. And now here's your host, Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood, live in Madisonville, Tennessee.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to be able to come back into your country, into your homes, or wherever that you may be at. This is Evangelist Lloyd and Betty Yearwood of Reaching the World for Christ, and our subject tonight, have you been with Jesus? And you know, that's a great subject tonight, and I'm looking forward for a great service here, and I just thank God for everything He's doing. So if you want to be a part of this service, why, call in on 310-742-1759. That's 310-742-1759. Just call in. We'll put you right on the line here worldwide, ministering to the whole world. So that's 310-742-1759. So we just want you to call in and be a part of it there. So I'm going to check your 770. Come down and tell us who you are and where you're at there.
Praise the Lord, Brother Yearwood. This is Brother John from Georgia.
Okay, appreciate you there, Brother John. I'm going to let Tim sing a song, then we'll get you in there to obey the Lord and hope that there'll be a bunch of call-in tonight to help you out because they don't want me to do nothing. But I know who the one's got it all under control.
Amen.
So, just a minute, Tim will sing us a song here. So, everybody just worship the Lord with Tim, and we'll just have a great time in the Lord, and we'll let Brother John come in there and minister to us there. And I know there's going to be other call-ins in, so, Brother John, you might want to get you another message when you get done here, when the rest of them gets done, if we... Like any time, we'll be hollering at you again.
All right.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I tell you what, you know, it's... They seen them disciples over there, and they knew that they were ignorant and unlearned and everything, but they knew that Peter and John had been with Jesus. And, you know, praise God, that's all we can... That's what we should be like, you know. Every one of us were to have a testimony and a sign that Peter and John had that people can look at. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. That they can see us and know that we've been with Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I think Tim's about ready here now. So I was letting him go ahead and sing. So just... worship the Lord with us in spirit and truth.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Jesus, 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 got Him on my mind. Jesus, 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 got Him on my mind. Jesus, 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 got Him on my mind. I've got Jesus on my mind. Jesus, 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 got Him on my mind. Jesus, 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 got Him on my mind. Jesus, 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 got Him on my mind. I got Jesus on my mind. When I wake up in the morning and go throughout my day, I just want to praise His name all along the way. He has been so good to me, so faithful and kind. That's why I want the world to know I got Jesus on my mind. Oh, Jesus, 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 got him on my mind. Oh, Jesus, 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 I got him on my mind. Jesus, 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 I got him on my mind. I've got Jesus on my mind. When Satan tries to tempt me and worry me with doubt, I just choose to trust him. He always brings me out. He is always with me and he's always on time. That's why I want the world to know I got Jesus on my mind. Oh, Jesus, 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 got him on my mind. Oh, Jesus, 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 got him on my mind. Jesus, 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 got him on my mind. I've got Jesus on my mind. Jesus, 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 got him on my mind. Oh, Jesus, 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 got him on my mind. Jesus, 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 got him on my mind. I've got Jesus on my mind. Got him on my mind. Got him on my mind. In the early morning, got him on my mind. When my heart is troubled, I got him on my mind. Got him on my mind. Got him on my mind. Jesus, 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 got him on my mind. Oh, Jesus, 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 got him on my mind. Jesus, 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 got him on my mind. I've got Jesus. Yes, I have. I've got Jesus. I've got Jesus on my mind.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful song there. So, Brother John, just go ahead and take your liberty in the Lord and just obey God, brother.
Appreciate that, Brother Yearwood. Amen. Tonight we are talking about, have you been with Jesus? And you know, as I'm going to lay a foundation. You know, a lot of times we have a cornerstone scripture, amen, that we build, amen, on our broadcast on Tuesday night where we come out from. Church tonight, you always have to have a foundation, a cornerstone. You know, the Bible says, and I want to lay a foundation before we bring it up to the. But you know, the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 28, verse 14, said, "Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem." You know, at this time, amen, in the book of Acts chapter 4, and coming from verse 13, but before we go there, amen, at this time there were scornful men, amen, men, amen. You know, the Bible says, cast out the scorner and contention will cease. So, you know, we need to walk, amen, in the very counsel, amen, of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Psalms 1, it says, blessed is the man who meditates in his law day and night, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, and his leaves shall not fade, and whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper, amen. We need to know today, amen, as we meditate in the word of God, amen, and have communion, as we break the bread of life, amen, with the Lord Jesus Christ, that at this time, just like I said, that there were scornful men that were ruling in Jerusalem, like it said in the prophet Isaiah 28:14, he said, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell, and we are at agreement, and when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. This was the leadership, this was the ruler, this was the religious men that had been set in place, amen, and they had made lies their refuge, they had been under a falsehood, a covenant, and they hid themselves, they said they would hide themselves from death, amen, because they had a covenant. That hell would not overflow them, amen, but that is not true. He said, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation of stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he that believeth shall not make haste. That's why I wanted to lay a foundation to hear, as Brother Yearwood brought out there in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, that these men had boldness, but let me read that, and then we'll go back and lay a foundation. The Bible says in Acts 4, verse 13,
that when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. It was evident, amen, what had happened in their life, what was happening in their life. But before I bring you to that, I want to bring you and go back, amen, to what started all this. You know, the Bible teaches this in Acts chapter 3, amen. It was the hour of prayer, amen. And Peter and John was coming to the hour of prayer in Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Being the ninth hour, amen, they had a public prayer on the third hour, the sixth hour, and the ninth hour. So it was a time of prayer and coming into the temple. And the Bible tells us that there was a certain man that was lame, amen, from his mother's womb. In other words, this man had never walked, amen, and he was carried daily, amen, unto the temple, amen, and laid outside the gate, the entrance way, amen, to the temple, called Beautiful. He was there to ask alms. In other words, that was a benefit, amen. He had come to a place of having to beg, amen, for provision, amen, so that he could live. And so every day someone would carry him, or some men would get together and carry him to the temple, amen, and outside the gate. And that every day that was his life, amen, he would become a beggar. But the Bible says in Psalms 37:25, David said, I was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Tonight, church, if you are a child of God, you don't have to be a beggar for anything. Amen. Hallelujah. God has made you the head and not the tail. He's made you above all in, not beneath. Amen. And he's blessed the fruit of thy womb. The Bible said, amen. As this man saw Peter and John, amen, about to go into the temple, and he began to ask of them, amen, amen, alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, with John, he said, look on us. That simple word, he said, I want you to look on us. Amen. He said, and he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something in him. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that the whole creation travaileth, amen, with earnest expectation to receive, amen, of the manifestations of the Son of God. They were getting ready to manifest something. They were getting ready for something to appear. Amen. Then Peter said, he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the Bible says he took him by the right hand, the hand of life, and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, in verse 8, amen, and entered it with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. He began to praise and celebrate God. He was leaping and walking, amen. Hallelujah. That's what Christ said when John asked him when he was in prison about the Christ, or should we look for another? Telling that the poor have the gospel, the blind eyes are open, the lame do walk. And this is continuing on. What's so important, amen, amen, is these men, amen, have been with Jesus. And we're going to get into that in just a little bit later on. But the Bible says that all the people saw him walking and praising God. For they knew it was him that had asked for alms, that they were with amazement at what had happened to him. And the Bible said that the lame man, which was healed, he held Peter and John. Amen. And they all ran to Solomon's porch. Amen. Greatly wondering. Amen. And Peter had declared unto them and answered the people. Amen. Because they were all standing around wondering. Amen. By what power, by what thing, amen, that this man had came in. He said, why marvel you at this? Or why look so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob and the God of our fathers have glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired the murder to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised up from the dead, whereof you are witnesses. So he was talking about that this, by the Lord Jesus Christ, was this man walking. By the Lord Jesus Christ, was this man no longer a beggar. By the Lord Jesus Christ, this man was able to enter into the temple. By the Lord Jesus Christ, now, amen, he could become a true worshiper, amen, who will worship in spirit and in truth. And the Bible says in verse 16, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you. Church, tonight, when you get in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, he will give you perfect soundness in the very presence of them all. And the Bible says, amen, amen. He spoke unto them there, verse 19, he said, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of the refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, amen. And he shall send Jesus Christ, who before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution and the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Amen. He had talked about that the Lord Jesus Christ had done a work, a time of restoration and the showers of blessing. Amen. He's talking about the times of refreshing. Oh, the Bible says there shall be showers of blessing round about his heel. Amen. And church tonight, God will supply this blessing upon you. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord is maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Amen. And so as they come, amen, and as they begin. And here's what happened there, starting in verse 4. Sadducees who didn't believe in a resurrection, amen, they were a part of what was called the Sanhedrin Council. They were in religious leadership, amen. And, amen, remember what Isaiah said. He said, these men, amen, amen, that were in leadership, in power, amen, amen, had come against the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't believe, and they wanted him to quit speaking, and they were grieved that they were teaching the people and preaching through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They didn't believe in a resurrection. They didn't believe that a man could come back. Amen. Amen. Raised from the dead or live that way. And so they what they had done, but the Bible says when they came in, there was an empowerment. And the Bible says that the church was added to daily. In fact, in verse 4 of chapter 4, he said about that, so many believed that there were about 5,000 men, amen, who believed and came in. And so the Bible says that the high priest, Annas and Caiaphas, and those that were the kindred, amen, gathered together, amen, and they began to ask them, and amen, there in verse 7 and verse 8, amen, because they had put them even in prison because of what they had, amen, believed, amen, and what had done. He says, verse 9, says, this day we be examined of the good deed done to the infant of man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all. Here's the answer of Peter. And to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, who God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. This was relating to the scripture I read to you in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. The builders or the religious leaders were the builders, and they had rejected the stone. In fact, it was actually speaking of all the nation of Israel. That he came into his own, the Bible says in John chapter 1, and his own received him not, but as many as received him gave you the power to become the sons of God. So what was happening there, amen, he was talking about that, hallelujah, in verse 10, verse 11 said, this is the stone which you have said, you builders, which has become the head of the corner. In other words, it's become the cornerstone of life. Amen. And then the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So here is this man standing there before all Israel, before all Jerusalem. He was a man that everyone in Jerusalem knew that had taken. Now he was standing every whit whole. Amen. This is a miracle that had appeared before the people. This is a miracle they couldn't hide. Amen. You know, the Bible said that he would confirm his word with signs and wonders and miracles, and here is a miracle, amen, that could not be denied. But the Bible says, hallelujah, he says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter, you have to understand in the time, amen, and John, and perceive that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Amen, when they saw the boldness, these men were outspoken. But these men who were outspoken were speaking in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. These were ignorant men. These were unlearned men. They didn't know of the school of the Jewish, amen. They didn't know of the rabbinical, amen, teaching of the law. But you know, tonight, amen, the Bible says, I believe it's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, he said, think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. He said, but I've come to fulfill the law. You have to understand that these men might have not known the law, but they walked and had been with the fulfillment of that law, amen. He says, I am the first, the last, amen, the beginning and the ending, the Alpha and the Omega, amen. He said, I'm the author and finisher of your faith, who, amen, who for the that hope that was before him, amen, and that was you, that was me, amen. Oh, went to the cross, amen, laying down his life for each and every one of us. So tonight, amen, the Bible says that they were unlearned and ignorant men. These men were illiterate. They couldn't read well. They couldn't speak well. But amen, amen. There was a perception of all the rulers. There was a perception of these men who had been wise or thought they had been wise. Amen. He takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, the weak things to confound the mighty. And so these men who had been fishermen, these men who had been common, these men who had come from Galilee, which was called the heathen circle, these were acting heathen in their eyes, amen. But these men, amen, what had happened, and now it cannot be denied that these men have been with Jesus. Oh, tonight, church, will your life show forth that you have been with Jesus? You know, it's sort of funny when in the Last Supper, this Peter, this same Peter, amen, proclaimed that he would never deny Jesus, and the Lord prophesied to him. He said before, that he said, thou shalt deny me, amen, even this night and this hour, before you deny, and even the cock shall crow. You know, the scripture teaches Matthew chapter 26, amen, this same Peter who spoke now with boldness. You know, he told him, amen, earlier in the scripture, he said, Peter, when you are strengthened or are converted, amen, in other words, when you actually turn back to me, amen, amen, he said, strengthen the brethren, amen. It wasn't at the time that Christ was here on the earth with them, amen, because here if we find in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 69, it said, now Peter sat without the palace. This is the night that the Lord Jesus Christ had been denied. They had already taken him into custody. They had already brought him before. And here Peter was, amen, at the high priest's palace, amen. John went there because he was of the kindred of the high priest. And the Bible says, and the damsel came to him saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. She had seen him with Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. But the Bible said, verse 70, but he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou say. I don't know what you're saying. I haven't been with Jesus. I haven't been with Jesus. The Bible says when in verse 71, when he went out to the porch, another maid saw him, said unto him, that was there. This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, there's no reason, amen, that he'd been with Jesus, amen. And again, he denied the hope. I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him, they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art also one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. In other words, it betrays him because he was a Galilean. Those men of Galilee were with him. His speech, amen, was because it was rough, amen. And they knew that the men had been with him were unlearned, amen. But there was a perception, amen, after that time, amen. And the Bible says, then began he to curse and swear, saying, I know not the man, and immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which had said, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. He had been with Jesus, but he had denied Jesus. Tonight, church, we have an opportunity. Some of you have been with Jesus and walked with Jesus, amen. But you denied him, amen. You denied him because you've been in the midst of the praise. You denied him because you stood in the midst of the world who had persecuted him. The world who had hated him, amen. The world who had mocked him, amen. The world who had spit in his face. And so, amen, you begin to have fellowship. But tonight, if you have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, going back to, amen, to Acts chapter 4, and the Bible says, in verse 14, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. They looked at the man. They looked at the miracle. They couldn't say nothing against these men who had been with Jesus. But what had happened there? What had happened? It wasn't when the Lord Jesus Christ had walked with them, talked with them, slept with them. It wasn't when they got into the Gethsemane. It wasn't when all this. It was on that day, amen, when he ascended, amen. He said, it is expedient for you that I go away. The Bible says in John chapter 14, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go away, I will send you the Comforter, and it will come to you in my name. My authority, my power. As this man stood and healed and whole in the name of Jesus, he would send his own spirit, amen, to dwell on the inside. This Peter, amen, who was, amen, was, but see, Jesus already saw him. He said, thou shalt be called Cephas, amen, the little stone, amen, by interpretation, amen, because here's what, there would be a day, amen, not now, not presently, amen, why, what, but there would be a day that this one, amen, who was wishy-washy, would one day be a spokesman that would one day stand before all of Jerusalem and speak in boldness. What was that day? What changed it? Because he was there and went to an upper room and began to pray, amen. The Bible says he told them in Luke chapter 24, he said, tell ye here in Jerusalem, do ye be endued with power from upon high, amen. Amen and hallelujah. And on that day as they began, amen, of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, in Acts chapter 1 when he went up, he said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing? Amen. This same Jesus shall come in like manner. amen, hallelujah. And when they came, amen, and they were praying, amen, on that 50th day, the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of the First Fruits, the Bible says there came a sound in Acts chapter 2 as a rushing mighty wind and filled all the house where they were sitting. And it said on them as cloven tongues of fire. And they spoke as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. The Spirit of God was speaking. It wasn't these men. These wasn't these ignorant men. Amen. Because, you know, I had been read. They'd been with Jesus, amen. But now Jesus was now with them, amen. And he was abiding on the inside of him by the very Spirit of God, amen. Amen. And they began to speak, amen. These Galileans, these unlearned, these ignorant men came out. And they began to praise God, amen, before all of Jerusalem, amen. And Jerusalem thought that they were drunk. He said, this is being in the third hour. In other words, another hour of prayer. He said, they're not drunken as you suppose. But this is that which the prophet Joel spoke of, amen, that he would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And God began to pour out his Spirit on unlearned, amen, and ignorant men. Amen, because you know why? You know why he poured it out on them? Because they didn't know any better but to have the Spirit of God. They didn't know any better but to speak to the Spirit of God. You know, so many times we want to interject our own knowledge, our own wisdom, our own thinking. But church, amen, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes down on the inside and we just know we've been with Jesus. I know tonight that I'm speaking to people that have gone alone in their prayer closet and that have been with Jesus. You've gone in your solitude. Amen. And the presence of Jesus has come down on the inside. Amen. There are preachers, there are evangelists. Amen. There are believers out there tonight. Amen. That have been with Jesus. Amen. You walk with him. He begin to talk with you and begin to know you. And you begin to speak with boldness. Amen. And it's not your qualifications. Amen. It's not how many letters. Amen. Education is good. But tonight, amen. Amen. You can throw out all your doctors, all your things. Because the thing that will make the difference, have you been with Jesus? Have you been with Jesus? Amen. Amen. Don't be like Peter before the transformation, before the conversion. He walked with Jesus. He talked with Jesus. He ate with Jesus. But he was still in a place of denial. But thank God, amen, for those of you that know the word of God, he gave him, amen, a pretext. There in John chapter 21, amen, when they were fishing all night long and they hadn't caught anything, amen, he said, children, have you any meat? And he came and he, amen, and he said, John perceived that it was Jesus, amen, hallelujah. And Peter jumped into the water, as impulsive Peter as he was, amen, and he girded himself with his fishing coat, amen, and they got to the shore, and the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, had already fixed, amen, as they got there. And he said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? He said, yea, Lord, I love you. He said, feed my lambs. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He said, feed my sheep. First. Then he said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? He said, Lord, yeah, you know I love you the second time. You got to remember, Peter denied him three times. He acknowledged him one time, acknowledged him the second time. Lord, you know that thou lovest me. He said, feed my lambs. Third time he asked him, confirming, oh, church, tonight God is doing a restoration. Amen. He's restoring the past. He's confirming do you love him tonight, church? Have you been with him? I'm not talking about you just being with him. Well, I was there where he's at. No, I'm talking about right now in the resurrection of the Lord. This man, amen, this Jesus that they had crucified and put it in, that the Lord had raised up by the resurrecting power of the Lord Jesus Christ, this man stood whole perfectly in the presence, amen, because of his name. Church tonight, have you been with his name? Have you been with his presence? Is he dwelling down on the inside of you? You can speak with boldness. Bible says in verse 15, it says, when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. You know, they couldn't say anything about that. You know, the Bible says in Titus chapter 2, verse 6, he said, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, and all things show yourself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. He that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil to say unto you. Do you know what? When you've been with Jesus, you know what the world has to do? The whole mouth has to shut up. The whole world can't speak against it. The Bible says, no weapon that's formed against thee, in Isaiah 54, verse 17, no weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the Lord, and it is of me. When you've been with Jesus, no one can speak against you. When you've been with Jesus, the woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8, amen, as the men who had brought her before to accuse her. Not only to accuse her, not to bring her to the stone, but they wanted to see what Jesus, they were actually there to tempt Jesus. They were actually there to try him to get speak against the law. Amen. But as they come, and amen, he said, he is among you. That is not guilty. In other words, he is among you. That is without sin. Cast the first stone, and not one of them could cast the stone of innocency towards her because they had all are guilty. The Bible says that if we're guilty of the least of these, we're guilty of all. Church, tonight, amen, she stood before Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, woman, where are our accusers? And she said, there is none, Lord. He said, neither do I accuse thee. There's, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. In one swoop, she was brought to Jesus, an adulterer, and left a child of God. Church, tonight, that's the way it is. You know why? Because for one moment in time, she had been with Jesus. It was noted, amen. Church, tonight, have you been in the presence of Jesus? Have you been with him? I'm not talking about just walking. I'm not talking about putting your hand. I'm saying, have you been with him? Are you living with him? Is he living on the inside of you? And the Bible says, saying, what can we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them. It's manifest to all of them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. Oh, they couldn't deny Jesus. They couldn't deny the miracle. They'd come to a place. Church, has your life so much that you come together? Have you been with Jesus that there's no way you can? He said, if you deny me before, amen, before men, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven. Verse 17, but let it spread no further among the people. Let it straightly threaten them that they should speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they call them and command them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Look, so this won't go any farther. So these miracles won't go any farther. So these signs won't go any farther. That these wonders, we command you right now. You can't speak in this name anymore. But Peter and John answered and said to them, this is the ignorant men. This is the unlearned men. Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. In other words, all right, you tell us, what's more right? Do we need to listen to God? Do we need to obey God or do we need to obey you? Which is right? Which is the right thing? Church, tonight, we need to, this is a given. Obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Obey the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, for we cannot but speak the things which ye have seen and heard. Who was the teacher? The anointing was the teacher. The Spirit of truth was the teacher. They could only speak what they'd seen and heard. Amen. What they had seen in Jesus. This was the walk after the walk. Amen. This was the walk as the Lord Jesus Christ was no longer in the earth, but he was dwelling on the inside of them. And the Bible says, so that when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them. He goes, that the people, for all men glorified God for what that which was done. For the man was about 40 years old when this miracle of healing was shown. Church tonight, amen, as they come, and going on down there, the prayer of the church was going in. And in verse 31, and I'm going to give it back to the host. He said, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Church, tonight, if you with Jesus, the place where you're at will be shaken, and they're all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they speak the word of God with boldness. Church, tonight is time for us to speak the word of God with boldness. Why? Because you've been with Jesus. The speakers on this broadcast, the ministers on this broadcast, those that have come on there, they've all been with Jesus. Amen. They've been with Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Not only have they been with Jesus, they're with Jesus right now. And they speak with you boldly. Tonight, will you receive the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you receive him? Will the testimony of your life be, this one has been with Jesus. I perceive there's something different about him or her tonight. Have you been with Jesus tonight? You know what? Now you have an opportunity for the rest of your life. I'm going to turn it back to the host. Tonight, ask yourself this question. Not in a place of denial, not in a place of that, but have you been with Jesus that you can speak the word boldly and know the notable miracle to come to a place that you can never, ever deny him? Right now is your opportunity in Jesus' name. Go ahead.
Praise the Lord, Brother John. I appreciate that wonderful word, that messenger. That'd be the question there is, have you been with Jesus? You know, I tell you what, people needs to know that they can come with Jesus and be with him at any time, and all they got to do is just get on. You know, they sang a song a lot of time about call him up, he's on the main line.
Amen.
Jesus on the main line today. He's answering the questions that you'd ask him, so I appreciate that. I want to get this other caller in, then we'll have Tim to sing a song, then we'll get them to obey the Lord. So 937, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Yeah, this is Brother and Sister Green here in Ohio, and we're just glad to be on the program tonight with you, listening in, and it's good to be here on this program, and we thank God for all the good preaching we've been hearing, and we've certainly learned a lot by coming in on the program and preaching and listening to the good word of God that the other preachers bring forth, and we'll be ready with something if you need us. And I'll turn it back to you, Brother Yearwood.
Okay, I'll have Tim to sing a song, then I'll turn it over to you guys and let you obey the Lord there, Brother Green.
Okay.
So I'll let you song right now. Anybody else out there want to be a part of this service? Well, call in on 310-742-1759, and we'll put you right on the line there to the whole world there, reaching the world for Christ. So, just call in if you want to be a part of this. So I'm going to let Tim sing a song.
Now there's always somebody talking about me, but really I don't mind. They always stop and try to block my progress most of the time. But those mean things they say don't make me feel bad. I can lose a friend that I've never had. I've got to love, and that's enough, that's enough, that's enough. Well, he raised me and he saved me. Oh, he bought me, and then he taught me. He's my keeper, he's my guide, and I can feel him walking right by my side. I've got the Lord, I've got the Lord, I've got the Lord, I've got the Lord, I've got the Lord. And that's enough, that's enough, that's enough. There have been so many times when I didn't have a dime. I couldn't call on nobody but the Lord. You know he heard my plea, came to see about me. He's my all in all. Now when they push me down, he picks me up, stands by me when the going gets rough. I've got the Lord, and that's enough, that's enough. Well, he raised me, and he saved me. Oh, he bought me, then he taught me. He's my keeper, he's my guide, and I can feel him there walking right by my side. I've got the Lord, I've got the Lord, I've got the Lord, I've got the Lord, I've got the Lord. And that's enough, that's enough, that's enough. Well, he raised me, and he saved me. Oh, he bought me, and then he taught me. He's my keeper, he's my God, and I can feel him now walking right by my side. I've got the Lord, I've got the Lord, I've got the Lord, I've got the Lord, I've got the Lord. And that's enough, that's enough, got the Lord. And that's enough, yeah.
Praise the Lord. Out there tonight, I'd like to know, do you have the Lord on your side? Do you know him as your personal Savior? If you don't, this would be a good time to invite him into your life and ask him to come in, because it's not his will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. And so, you know, these disciples are, they took notice, as Brother John brought out there a while ago in Acts 4 and 13. They took notice that them men had been, Peter and John had been with God. So I tell you tonight, my friend, you need to be with God if you're not. So Brother Green, just go ahead and obey the Lord there.
Okay, Brother Yearwood, I want to read that scripture again there. I know it's been read, but praise God. I'm going to back up here a little bit. In verse 12 of Acts chapter 4, it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it." Praise God. So, you know, it was there at that beautiful gate of the temple there in chapter 3 of Acts is where it got started, where that they got themselves in trouble because they came there one day to that beautiful gate, and there was a certain lame man, and he was laid there daily, the Bible said, at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seen Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Praise God. So it started there when they, you know, when they received the Holy Ghost in the upper room. They began to come out with boldness, and they began to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, and they began to preach that he was the Savior of the world, and they told them there that there was none other name under heaven given among men whereby that they might be saved. There was only one way to salvation. There was one door to the sheepfold, and there was only one way that you could come to God. And Jesus told them there when he was teaching his disciples in John 14, said, he said, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so he told them over there in John chapter 10, he said, "I am the good shepherd." And he said, "The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And I tell you tonight, there's one way to heaven, and that's through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that made the way, paved the road to salvation, and he redeemed us from the curse of the law. The Bible said, "For it's written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles." So we know that God is no respecter of person today. And the scripture teaches that whosoever will can come and take of the water of life freely. And you know, Jesus stood on that great day of the feast, and he cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." And he was that water of life, praise God. And I wonder what they thought about it when he was out there preaching that day. He preached there at Jerusalem, and some say that the high priest would take a pitcher of water and pour it out, and it represented the water of life. And Jesus was the water of life. And he said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Praise God. "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said," he said, "out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And this spake he of the Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said, "For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." And what that meant was he had not went to that cross yet, but he was going to that cross. Praise God. I'll tell you what a difference it makes when Jesus passes by Oh, what a difference. I tell you, in my life, when I found Christ, it was the way of salvation. When I believed on Him as the Son of God, and I've never been the same. And I think that's our subject tonight is when they saw these men, they said they're ignorant and unlearned, but they had took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. And I'll tell you, if you walk with Jesus, you know, and you talk with Him and you communicate with Him, I'll tell you, after a while, somebody's going to look at you and say, there's something different about that person. I know that person. I know how they used to be. You know, I think back, you know, years ago, the way that I used to live, but I don't live that way anymore. Because one day I found Jesus. One day He found me. But I had to get there to that place where He was at. And, you know, there in the Old Testament, you know, when they were being bitten by the serpents, God told Moses, said, make a brazen serpent, put it upon a pole, and those that would come and look upon that serpent that was lifted up and on a pole. Jesus was lifted up one day, and the Bible said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And He told Nicodemus there over there in John chapter 3, He said, just like Moses lifted up the serpent of the wilderness, He said, even so, they're going to do that to me, praise God. And they did. They put Him on that old rugged cross. They nailed His hands and His feet. And they took Him up there on that hill. And they put Him on that cross, nailed Him there between two thieves. And they put those thieves on their crosses also, one on the right and one on the left, praise God. And they had the Savior in the middle. And that the man in the middle was the Savior, praise God. And that one thief said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You know, he believed somehow or another he got the knowledge that Jesus was the King of the Jews. They had written that over the top of his accusation there at the cross. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And that thief found that door of mercy that day. And when he died, he went into paradise, in the heart of the earth, where Jesus had already descended into that place where Abraham was. And he had already told them he was going there. But, you know, that thief, you know, if you could ask him today on that, you know, that was on that cross that day at Calvary, he would say, oh, what a difference since I met this Savior. What a difference in my life. I was dying, I was lost, and I was undone. I had no hope, and I was at the end of my rope, and there was no way out. And I knew my time had come, and I knew I just had a little bit of time to go. But he said, I found Jesus. And oh, what a difference it made in my life. And now I have eternal life. I have life everlasting, and I'll never die and never grow old. Now I'll never have pain anymore. You know, there was great suffering on that cross, but you know what? Christ suffered on that cross for us, and He paid that debt payment that we cannot pay. And oh, what a change it takes place in a person's life when they finally meet the Master, when they finally, down in their spirit, they understand in their heart that Jesus is the way. He is the truth and He is the life. And He's the answer for mankind today. You know, we look at this world, it's rocking and rolling. And you know, they're dying of diseases and they're killing one another. And there's turmoil and things are going on. And people are oppressing one another. And they're abusing one another, and they're dying on alcohol and dope and cigarettes and things of the sort, and they're cutting their lives short. But I tell you, there's eternal life available today, and Jesus is the answer. And you'll never be the same once you take Christ as your personal Savior. And if you walk with Him and talk with Him, then there'll be a day come when somebody will say, oh, what a difference in that person's life since they met Christ. And they've changed. They're a new creature. You know, the Bible tells us over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, And I want to read that to you here over there in 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 20. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." You know, we were all lost. We were lost without God at one point. The Bible tells us there was none righteous, no, not one, for all had sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you see, death had passed upon all men, for all were sinners, because Adam had brought sin into the human race, and a man was destined to die lost except Christ had come and paid the ransom. And he came as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. You know, there's people out there tonight that's going to and fro and running here and there, and they're buying sacrifices, and they're taking those sacrifices, and might be a turtle dove or a lamb or a goat or whatever it is, and they're killing that animal and shedding that blood. But I'll tell you, the blood of bulls and goats and all that stuff could never take away sin. And I'll tell you, it had to be the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who came down from heaven above, who took upon himself flesh, and he came in the form of a man, and I was born there in Bethlehem of Judea in the house of bread. That's what Bethlehem is called the house of bread. And he was the bread of life. And praise God, that bread was broken for you and I at Calvary over 2,000 years ago. Praise God. And the blood was shed. And the Bible tells us without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And I'm so glad that I'm under the blood tonight. I'm under the blood of Jesus, and I'm cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, and I'm washed tonight in the blood. And I thank God for it tonight. But we're new creatures. Once we've come to Christ, we'll never be the same anymore. In 1975, I came to the Lord Jesus Christ, 600 North Cherry Street in Eaton, Ohio. I gave my heart to God, and I've never regretted it, and I've never wanted to take my life back. I've never wanted to quit serving Christ. I've never wanted to go back to what I was. You know, I was a-drinking, and I was doing many things that was against God, and you know, and I was talking bad talk and doing things that were wrong, and I thank God that he cleansed me from that stuff, and he made my life new. He put in my heart a desire to serve him, and he gave me that ministry of reconciliation that I was talking about over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, about how that when we come to Christ, we're a new creature. We'll never be the same anymore. The only way I can get out of this is if I willfully go back in to the sin that I came out of. And I would have to just say, pretty much, I don't want you anymore, Lord. I don't want you bothering me. I'm going to live the life I want to live, and I'm not going to take up the cross and follow you. But you see, God has put it in my heart tonight to take up that old rugged cross, to carry that cross. Praise God. You know, Jesus carried that cross up Calvary's hill. And when he got to a certain place there where he could carry his cross no more, they took another man and laid that cross upon him, and he carried it to the top of that hill. And you know, we're carrying Christ's cross today. And wherever we go, souls and people should be changed. And they should see a difference in you and I. They should say they're not the man they used to be. There's a change in their life. They're not doing the things they used to do. You see, we're a city. The Bible says a city set up on a hill which cannot be hid. You know, I want to do everything I can to be that great light. He said, no man lighteth a candle and put it under a bushel, but they put it on the up on the table so that all that are in the house, that come into that house, can see that light. Now I tell you, let our light shine so that the world can see Jesus in us. You know, they'll never be saved today. People won't if they can't see Jesus in you and I. But I tell you, God has ordained that the church should be the light, the city set on a hill, that the church should be a beacon shining out, that those that are out there might be saved, that they might come and find that salvation that we have today. The ones that are born again today have eternal life. They have life everlasting, will never die. Oh, they might kill this body. And Jesus said, fear not them that kill the body and have no more that they can do. But I tell you today, this body is going to lay down one day after a while anyhow. And then we better know that we're saved. And we better know that we've made that decision before that ever happens to follow Christ. You know, like I said, the thief at the last minute, probably the last hour of his life, he gave his heart to God. And, you know, he's got eternal life tonight because he done that. And you may be on your sick bed tonight. You may be in a hospital room somewhere. You may be on a bed of affliction, and you may be listening to this broadcast. And I'll tell you tonight, just ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. And ask him to come into your heart, to send forth the Spirit of God into your heart, and that you believe on him as the Son of God. And that's how you become a new creature, as you call on him, you receive him as your personal Savior. Praise God. I want to read this one more time. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus has already paid that death penalty. He's already paid the price for your salvation tonight. And that's what the Bible's saying here. Praise God. He hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. See, we were lost, but now we're found. We were alienated from the blessings of God, but now we have been brought in to the blessings of Christ through Jesus dying on that cross and taking away that curse. And it says here, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And that means to bring other people to Christ. So that means just like Peter and John went up to the beautiful temple at the hour of prayer, and they prayed for that man, and that man was healed. And you know, that man, they went on to tell later, Peter said it wasn't our holiness that made this man whole. It wasn't the way we lived. It was the man called Jesus and faith in him that healed that lame man at the beautiful temple that day. It was Christ that brought the blessing. Praise God. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that means to make known that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. See, he died for the sins of the whole world, and you can be reconciled tonight. If you're out there lost, he's not holding these things that you're doing against you, but he has made a way that you can get power over sin by coming to him and he living in you. Praise God. To wit, that God was in Christ, or to make known that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And that's what he did when he died on that cross. He paid that sin payment, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. I don't know what you're doing tonight. I don't know what kind of sin you might be in if you're not saved. But God wants you to come to him in whatever shape you're in, because you can't help yourself, because you may try to quit your sinning and turn over a new leaf or whatever, but it'll take the power of God to break that sin out of your life. It'll take the Spirit of God to deliver you. And now we must come to Christ and realize that he's the Savior and call on him for salvation. And he hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So we're telling you tonight, by the word of God, we're telling you tonight that you can be saved. You're not so far out there somewhere that you cannot be saved. Jesus saved all kinds of people. He saved the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. He was going about to kill Christians. He thought that he was doing God's service, and he was going to try to wipe this group out that were called Christians, because no doubt he had heard things about them, probably. And, you know, people tell things that's a lot of times that's not true, and they don't know what they're talking about a lot of times. But Christ was the head of the church, and he spoke to the Apostle Paul there. His name was Saul at that time, and he said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." I want you to know tonight, if you're persecuting Christians tonight, I want you to know you're fighting against God. You're fighting against the very Son of God that came and died on the cross for you. And you're killing some of the people that this world needs, praise God, that they might go and win other souls, praise God. And the Lord told us to love everybody. He told us not to try to live by the sword. He said, "He that liveth by the sword shall die by the sword." And when Peter took the sword there in the garden, and he cut off that man's ear, Jesus reached down, and he took that ear and put it back on that man. And he said, "He that lives by the sword will die by the sword." He told him to put the sword up. And you know, the angels there that day on the mountainside there in the hills of, I believe it was Judea, there when they come to the shepherds, those angels, they said, "Peace on earth, goodwill toward men." God is a God of peace, and God is a God of love, and God loves you. I don't care what kind of religion you might be in tonight, God loves you. And if you'll accept Christ Jesus as your personal Savior, you see, he's more than a prophet. He's more than that. He's the absolute Son of God. He is the only begotten Son. And he's up on the mountain in Matthew chapter 17. The cloud overshadowed Jesus, and Moses and Elijah appeared there with Jesus on the mountain and was talking with him, and Peter and James and John were up on the mountain, and they witnessed what was going on. And when they started to come down from that mountain, Peter said, "Let us make three tabernacles." And the cloud overshadowed them and said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him." I tell you, God spoke out of heaven several times and said, "This is my Son." When he was baptized in the River Jordan, he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now I want you to know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life tonight. And you cannot get to the Father some other way. You can't climb up some other way. He said, "I am the door of the sheepfold." So I tell you, there was only one door to the sheepfold, and Jesus is that door. Praise God. If you pass up Calvary and you go to try to establish your own righteousness, you're going to end up in the lake of fire. You're going to end up in a place called hell because you've missed it. My friend, we need to examine the facts and see who Jesus really is. You know, when they ran to the tomb that day, Peter and John ran to that tomb, and the women had said that he is risen, and they ran to take a look. And I want you to know tonight that he is risen. And I want you to know tonight you need to take a look. And they ran to the tomb. And one stopped at the door and looked in, but the other went in. I'll tell you, we need to examine all the evidence, my friend. We need to examine it, and not just from somebody's other point of view, but we need to get the Word of God on it, praise God, and read the Word of God. And I'll tell you, he'll let you know that Jesus is the way. Praise God. Know what a difference it'll be in your life if you meet this man called Christ. If you meet him, I thought about the woman at the well, met him one day, and it changed her life, praise God. And I won't say too much about that. I got some more things to say here. Thank God that I met him one day, and I've never been the same. And oh, he came into my life in 1975, and I don't know how many years ago that's been. Here we are in 2014, and it's been quite a few years, and I'll tell you, it's the best thing I ever done. Falling in love with Jesus, I'll tell you. I fell in love with Jesus, praise God. When I began to read the Word of God, and I began to see what he did for me, oh, what a change in my life that he made, praise God. I thought about Nicodemus. You know, Nicodemus came to Jesus the night. He came and he said, "Thou art a teacher, come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." And I want you to know this man, when he met Jesus, he had never met a man like Jesus. You know, we sang that song, "Never met a man, never met a man, never met a man like Jesus." You know, I tell you, what about that man in the tombs that was crying and cutting himself with stones, and he wouldn't wear no clothes because he was half out of his mind and he was demon-possessed, and no man could tame him, and they would chain him up and he'd break the chains. But now I tell you, Jesus came by, praise God, he came by that way one day, and he cast them devils out of that man. And the Bible said that there must have been about 2,000 devils in that man. He said, "My name is Legion." He said, "What is thy name?" He was asking that man, and that devil spoke through him and said, "Our name, or my name is Legion, for we're many." He spoke for the whole bunch, I guess, that one did. But I'll tell you what, Jesus made a difference in that man's life. And when they found that man after them devils had gone out of him, they found him clothed and in his right mind. And I'll tell you what, when he got in his right mind, he wanted to follow Jesus. And Jesus said, "No, go back to your family and your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you." So what a difference it made in that man's life. He was never the same anymore. When them devils came out of him, he was a new creature. He was a new man. He'd never have to go back to cutting himself with stones. He'd never have to go back and live among the tombs, praise God, because there had been a change. And Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, "You must be born again," praise God. And Nicodemus wanted to know, he wanted to know about eternal life. He had, no doubt, it heard Jesus speaking. He saw the miracles. He said, "No man can do these things except God be with him." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And so you see, Nicodemus was not born again at that time, and he could not understand. He could not comprehend what was going on. But Jesus went on to say, "That which is born," in verse 6 there of chapter 3, "that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit." You see, the first man is of the flesh, but the second man that's born again, if we get born again, we're of the spirit. And we're a spiritual man. We're no longer just a fleshly man like we was before, but now I've got a new spirit. We've got the Spirit of God in us. And he said in verse 8, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." So when you get born of the Spirit, somebody's going to know. somebody's going to see a difference, and somebody's going to be able to tell by the way you talk and the things you do and the things that you don't do that you used to do. And they'll watch your life, and they'll say there's something different about that person. And, you know, sometimes somebody might ask me, what's different about you? There was a man asked me that one time there in the workplace. There was a bunch of us working there, and there was a bunch of us that was Christians. And he come to me, a foreman came to me, and he said, there's something different about you. And he said, what is it? And I was a young Christian, and I didn't really know what it was. I know those other people was Christians too, but he seen something in my life that made him curious. And, I know now what it was, but back then I didn't know much, and I still don't know much, but I know that it was the Spirit of God, and it was because that I had close relationship with the Lord, and I was walking with Him and praying, and I was obedient, and I had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I was walking in the Spirit, and He saw something different in me, and I'll never forget that, and I wish I could go back and answer that man, because I could give him a much better answer today than I could at that time. You know, when we're young in the Lord, we don't know too much. You know, I didn't know nothing about God when I found Him. I didn't know nothing about salvation, but I found salvation in an old church there in Eaton, Ohio, and an old-time preacher preaching salvation and preaching that you must be born again, you must be washed in the blood, and you must have your name written in that Lamb's Book of Life. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to just cut it short here and turn it back over. I guess Sister Joanna or Brother Yearwood, I ought to turn it back to you. I'll turn it back to you, Brother Yearwood.
Okay. Brother Green, I appreciate that. Appreciate the word and everything. Let me get this sister on from Africa, then I'll get Sister in there. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise God.
25, go ahead and tell us who you are and where you're at there, and obey the Lord.
I'm Dorothy Nansuga from Uganda. Praise God.
Amen.
Father in heaven, we glorify you in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the great love that you have for our lives. Thank you, Jesus, for you love us and you love our life. You died for our life. Today the topic is, have you been with Jesus? Yes, I have been with Jesus. How do you confirm that we have been with Jesus? Open with me, Colossians, which is Colossians, Colossians chapter 3, from number 8, from verse 8. But now I put those things out of your life. But now put those things out of your life. If you have been with Jesus, this is what we are supposed to do. We are supposed to put all these things out of our lives. Anger, losing your temper, doing or saying anything that hurts others, and saying shameful things. All these ones have to be out of our hearts. Don't lie to each other. You have taken off those old clothes. The person you once were and bad things you did, then take them off, because now you are wearing a new life, a life that is new every day. Jesus is the new life that we are wearing, and it's renewed every day on a daily basis. You are growing in your understanding of the one who made you, and that one is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. You are becoming more and more like Him. Let us grow. Let us think more like Him, like our Savior, because He's our leader. Here is Christ. Here Christ, all of us. Let Christ be in us. In the words that we speak, in everything that we mention, let it be accompanied with Christ's power. And that is the power everyone needs to do the miracles. unto love. God has chosen you and made you his holy people. You and me, we are the holy people of God. He loves us. That's why he sent Jesus Christ to suffer for us. So your new life should be like this. Show mercy to others. Be kind, humble, gentle, and patient. Number 13, don't be angry with each other, but forgive each other. Forgive others because the Lord forgave you. Together with those things, the most important part of your new life is love. That is on 14. Let the teachings of Christ live inside us richly. Hear this. Let the teachings of Christ live inside of us richly. God is great. Be hardworking, ready, steady, determined, confident for the coming back of Jesus Christ, because Christ is in us. Have faith like Moses. Open with me Hebrews chapter 11, 24 to 27. But me, I'm going just to give out the major points that I found very interesting for the person who has Christ in him. Moses is a servant of God. Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt. So, when you read Hebrews chapter 11, 24 to 27, here are the major points that I found out that can help me and you as a Christ believer. Moses refused to be called Pharaoh's daughter. She chose not to enjoy pleasures of sin that last such a short time. Let us also choose not to enjoy the pleasures of sin that lasts for a short time. Instead, he chose to suffer with God's people. Also you and me, let us choose today to suffer with God's people, because the next land we are going to go to is the land that Jesus is preparing up in heaven. Your seat and my seat is there, and even the other person's seat is there. He did this because he had faith. Let us have faith like the faith Moses had. On 26, he saw that it was better to suffer for Christ than to have all the treasures of Egypt. He was waiting for the reward that God would give him. For example, Christ in full control of your life. Let us read, open with me, Daniel chapter 3, from 16 to 18. And see, when Christ is already full in you, which decisions can you take? These people, they were full of Christ inside them. The three men, you know them very well. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They answered the king, Nebuchadnezzar. We don't need to explain these things to you. Imagine these people answering. That is 16. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego answered the king, Nebuchadnezzar. We don't need to explain these things to you. When you have Christ in you, it doesn't need you to explain anything. It only needs you to talk, and Christ's power comes out of you. Then miracles begin to happen. Christ in you, you only see the great power, lame people walking, miracles in the whole world, in Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Christ, be in us, and let the miracles that you used to do happen today, as it used to be. If you throw us into the hot furnace, into the hot fire, the God we serve can save us. These people were ready for the king to throw them into fire. And they say to the king that the God we serve will save us. Let us all have the confidence that our God that we are serving today is ready to save us. Each one today, the heavenly God, the one who created us, the Father of Jesus, is ready to save you and me. And if he wants to, he can save us from your power. God, if he wants, he is saving some people from the great power. But even if God does not save us, we want to know. Hear this. Let me go a bit faster. Not faster. But even if God does not save us, we want you to know, yeah, these people are explaining to the king that even if God does not save us, we want you to know, king, that we refuse to serve your gods. We will not worship the gods idol you have set up. These people are ready to die rather than serving that idol.
A woman from Africa on her name.
Amen. Then open with me Luke 24 from 45 to 49. Tell the people that they must change and turn to God. These ones I just got out of the point, but for you to read at your own time. It's Luke 24, 45 to 49. Tell the people that they must change, turn to God, which will bring forgiveness. You show those things happen, you are the witnesses. So I and you, we are the witness of God today. The disciples have completed their work, but I and you, we are the true representative of Jesus. So when you're speaking, Christ has to come out of you. On 49, remember that I will send you the one my Father promised. Stay in the city until you are given that power from heaven. So, you are the disciple today. I'm the disciple. But Jesus Christ told the disciples, don't go out to speak those words until that power has joined you. I too and you, we are not supposed to begin anything for Christ before we receive the Holy Spirit. So always stand, always pray for the Holy Spirit to join you. Then begin the service of the Lord. Because it's the Holy Spirit that has to lead us throughout the whole world. Pray, read the Bible, pray, bring Holy Spirit down to join you. Then you can make it to the whole world. When you obey Christ's teaching, Holy Spirit will be coming out of you to join other people. How do we see this? When Peter, in Acts chapter 10, 44, when Peter was speaking about Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came from him and joined the people. No matter, even if you are a who, even if you are a black, even if you are a white, when the Holy Spirit comes, it doesn't separate people. It doesn't select people. Holy Spirit even joins the babies. I pray, Lord God, today let the Holy Spirit join each and everyone that is listening your word, such that everyone can receive the joy. Because Jesus Christ, you told us that we are supposed to have the complete joy, a complete happiness, Father in heaven. We ask you, in Africa, in the whole world, in America, in Australia, in the whole world, may the Holy Spirit join us, Lord God, and we receive that total joy, that everlasting joy that we need. Let the sickness disappear right now, and let us have good life. Let the people who have been having the broken heart, please, Lord God, have good heart, have faith in you, and rejoice in your word. And stay longer. Father in heaven, we want to stay longer. We want to stay like 300 years on this world. We still need your love. We need your wisdom, Lord God. Teach us your ways such that we can enjoy this good life. Lord God, help the people who have been disappointed by other people. Give them that joy. Forgive them, Lord God, and give them the good life that they deserve, that you prepared for us. We need the wealth, Lord God, that you prepared for us. God gave David great wealth. I and you, you need that great wealth that God prepared for David. Because God said, David, my Noah's sons will be kings in all generations. That means for our children, my children, I and you, we shall be blessings to all generations until Jesus appears in heaven. So let us be blessings to our nation when we are training our people to develop, to bring peace, to bring love, bring joy. Let us speak joyful words, developmental words, humble words, obedient words, because we are the blessings. Jesus said himself that we are the salt of this world. We are the light of this world. If you are the light, utilize your cause to help the people around you such that they can reach their destiny. Help someone to reach his vision such that he can reach his destiny. Help someone. Help the orphan, because God is seen through you. I thank you, Jesus, for the great love that you have on us. When the Holy Spirit joins you, Christ is in you. Father in heaven is in you. How do you confirm this? Confirm this by reading John chapter 14:23. Open with me. John chapter 14:23. John 14:23. And you see, this is our real promise. This is our real promise. And my brother, my sister, I always tell you, whenever you are praying to God, quote the scriptures. Even devil can know that you are aware of your promises, and then it will stop attacking you. Jesus answered, "All who love me will obey my teachings. My Father will love them too. My Father and I will come to them and live with them." Jesus Christ, our Father in heaven, is living with me, is living with you. So tomorrow, you have to speak exactly as your Father in heaven is doing. You have to renew your life. Jesus' life is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The other day when Jesus was speaking, people, the lame people, were walking. Some people who touched Jesus' clothes, they also managed to receive healing. I pray that even you, the person who is next to you, who can be able to touch you, let him receive the healing, because the Heavenly Father is already in you. Jesus Christ is already in you. We have to be like him. At the beginning, we saw that we are supposed to renew our life on every day, on every hour. And we are supposed to be like our Creator. We are supposed to be like Jesus, and to give for your good power. You are becoming more and more like him. Hear this. When I hear this, I say thank you, Jesus, for loving us. Yeah? We are becoming more and more like him. God has chosen you and made you his holy people. He loves you. So your new life should be like this. Show mercy to others. Be kind, humble, gentle, patient. Don't be anything. Don't be hungry with anything with others. Forgive each other. Forgive others, because the Lord God has forgiven you. Father, thank you for this. Together with these things, the most important part of your new life is love. Love each other. Love the lame people. Love the poor to come out of poverty. Love the disabled to come out of disabled. Pray for them. Pray for your relatives. Pray for your brothers. Pray for your sisters. You have received salvation first from your relative family, but you are the key. You are the light for everyone to receive salvation. Let me give you an example of me, myself, Dorothy Nansubuga. In 1983, when I received salvation, I asked God, "It is good, I'm going to preach your word to the whole world. But my father and mother, they don't know you. My brothers, they don't know you." I prayed. It took me a long time to see the results. It took me like 10 years before these people, they fully accepted that Jesus Christ is their personal savior. But after like 10 years, right now, my mom, my dad, my brothers, their wives, they all know Jesus Christ as their personal savior. So let it be to you today. Pray for your brother, pray for your sister, pray for your relative, pray for your nation, pray for your leaders. It will take time. It's like when you plant a seed down in the soil, it doesn't come out that very deep. But as you dig, it paints the soil. Then you put in that seed, the seed of salvation. The seed of prayer, it is just planted in somebody. After some time, somebody will also pour some good words on that person. And then at one day, at one time, see, that person will receive salvation. I beg you, my brother and my sister, pray for your neighbors. Pray for your workmates. At one time, see, you'll hear them, glory be to God. Glory be to God. Don't worry how dangerous that person is. Don't worry how tough that person is. Don't attack him. Don't attack her. Don't reject her. Only go down on your knees. Tell Jesus, my brother, I wish Lord God also help him to receive salvation as I received salvation at one time. See, even if it is 20 years past, God's promises are always true and kept alive. God will renew your prayer at one time, and you will see your sister saying, praise God, and then you will wonder. But you will not wonder so much because you have already prayed for that person. You have put a good seed on a log. Plant a good seed in your children. Let me tell you something. Even pray for those children, those who are yet to be born, for your granddaughters. Let me tell you another small testimony, but it is very big. When I received salvation in 1983, I said, God, if you are the source of life, I don't want you to take my parents. I don't want you to take my grandparents. I don't want you to take my relatives because you are the source of life. Because the statement says like this, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the only way to see God. So I prayed like that prayer. Let me tell you, I'm 43 years old today. My mom, Mr. Rowa, and Jonathan Rowa, they are there in Entebbe. My grandmother is there, the mother of my...
Praise the Lord. We just lost Sister Dorothy there. We sure do appreciate the wonderful message that she was bringing forth. So, Sister Joanne, you ready to come on and obey the Lord? Let me get this 606 on there, then we'll let you obey the Lord there. 606, come on and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Hi, Brother Yearwood. This is Sister Gladys from Moorhead, Kentucky.
Praise the Lord, Sister Gladys. We sure do appreciate you coming on there. Let me get Sister Joanne on there and let her obey the Lord, then we'll get you on there.
Okay, go ahead.
Sister Joanne?
Praise the Lord, Brother Yearwood. Good to be with you all tonight, and all the preaching was really good, and listening in, and thank God for this opportunity to be able to preach God's Word and to share the gospel, because I have been with Jesus, praise the Lord. When He saved my soul, I went to the foot of Calvary, praise the Lord, when I went to that altar on June the 27th of 1993, praise God. And that's when I met Jesus, praise the Lord. And I haven't been able to be quiet ever since, Brother Yearwood. And that's what I want to talk about tonight is John chapter 4. And starting with Jesus, he had went down to the city of Samaria. And Brother Green was getting ready to get on it, praise the Lord. And it says in verse 6, John chapter 4, verse 6, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to meet for meat, to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And I wanted to bring in how she met Jesus, praise God, and there in Samaria. And it was in her own country, praise the Lord. And she was going to draw water. And Jesus being weary of his journey, because Jesus being on his mother's side, he was Jesus, and we've said this before, on his father's side, he's Emmanuel, praise God. So he was weary, Jesus was weary, and he was in his body, and he had a flesh and bones, just like you and I have, And, you know, he came to the Jews when the Jews, he came to his own, and his own received him not. And I was thinking here how it doesn't matter what country that you live in. Jesus came to the, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And, you know, you can be with Jesus today. Praise God. All you have to do is call upon his name. And, you know, I was thinking about what Brother Green was talking about. If you're in a religion that tells you to kill people, you're in the wrong religion. You know, our God is God of love. He loves people. He came down here that he even cared about the man, like Brother Green was saying, that Peter had took the sword and cut off his ear. And Jesus had compassion on that soldier and put his ear back on and healed that man's ear. So God, he wants us to put away our swords. And, you know, I was thinking about the word infidel. The word infidel, when I read that word in our Bible, it says that a man that does not work, it does not take care of his household, I'm going to paraphrase there, he's worse than an infidel. And that's what an infidel is, someone of their family. Praise God. So, you know, God wants us to take care of each other. If we're out killing somebody and we're out killing other people and we're thinking that we're doing a work for God, you know, you're serving the wrong God. That's not the right God. God wants people to come in and be saved. He doesn't want people to go out killing one another. He come that life, that we would have life, eternal life with him. Things down here on this in this world is temporal, but things with Jesus Christ is forever lasting. Praise God. So Jesus answered and saying to her, if thou knowest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Praise God. So she's asking Jesus. Praise God. And what's what we need to do is we need to ask. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, the knock, it shall be opened. Seek, and ye shall find. Ask, and ye shall receive. Praise the Lord. She says, aren't thou greater than our father Jacob, which give us the well and drink thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Praise God. So the water that she was talking about, she would be thirsty again tomorrow, or in a few hours she would be thirsty again. But the water that God, that Jesus had to give her, would spring up, praise God, into everlasting life. It would last forever. When you give your heart to God, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise the Lord. You will not have to face the great white throne judgment if you give your heart on this side. Praise the Lord. Once he has come, which he is coming back again on a white horse. Praise the Lord. We're talking about the horse. I believe it's in chapter 19 of Revelations. He's coming back on that power. Horse with power. He came as a lamb before, but he's coming back with power. Praise God. He is the stone that was hewed out of the mountain, tearing down the kingdoms of this world. When Matthew 24, when the disciples asked the question, what is the sign of the end of the world? And Jesus said, you see these stones? There shall not be one left upon another. All the people that sit in high seats, presidents, kings of this earth, and all, they will be brought down. Praise God. All these kingdoms would be hewn down by Christ. Praise the Lord. He is that stone. He is the stone that the builders rejected. Praise God. He is that chief cornerstone. He is the one that we need to lay our foundation and build, praise God, our house upon the rock. And that's Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband to come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now hast is not thy husband, and that sayest thou truly. the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Praise God. Our father worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is this place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. You could be anywhere in this world, praise God, and you can worship Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. I don't care if you're in a country where they're persecuting the Christians. I don't care if you're there where they're cutting off the Christians' heads. You can still worship Jesus Christ, because to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Praise God. You are on the winning side. God had defeated the devil at Calvary. Praise the Lord. He had went down. He took the keys to death and hell. Praise the Lord. Death is our enemy. Praise God. But Jesus conquered death, hell. Praise God. And he took back the keys that day. Praise the Lord. We are on the winning side. Praise God. Death is no longer, praise the Lord, over us. It said, the Bible says, death, where's your sting? And victory, grave, where's your victory? Praise the Lord. One of these days, those that lay and went to by the grave, the Bible says that those that are dead in Christ shall rise first, and says those that remain shall be raised and be changed in a twinkling of a moment of a twinkling of an eye. Praise the Lord. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Praise the Lord. Finished verse 23. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman saith to him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Praise God. She was with Jesus. And we know the rest of the story. Praise the Lord. I won't take up much more time, but we know how she went out and she said, come see a man. She told them in the city, praise God, all that Jesus had told her. Praise the Lord. And that she knows that this is the Christ. Praise the Lord. She said, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Praise the Lord. And then they came out. And they came because of what she had said. And when they came to hear Jesus, then they didn't believe anymore because of what she said. They believed because they heard him for themselves. Praise the Lord. Hear him for yourself. Be with Jesus for yourself. Praise God. You can't go because mama was Baptist. Maybe mama was Pentecostal. Maybe daddy was Pentecostal or Baptist. Praise the Lord. But that doesn't mean that you can go. Praise the Lord, because your mom and dad were. You've got to go for yourself. Praise the Lord. You've got to know Jesus for yourself. Be with him. How do you do that? He said, he stand at the door and knock. He said, if any man open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. He wants to talk to you. He has a big table spread. Praise the Lord. And he's saying, come and dine. How do we dine with Jesus? We get into his word and we read it. Praise God. Go ahead, Brother Yearwood.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful word there, Sister Joanne. I'm going to let Sister Yearwood read the prayer request, and we'll get Sister Gladys to come in there and obey the Lord.
Lois Broadnax has high blood pressure, and I think she was taken to the hospital. She needs a miracle. I think she was kind of confused and stuff, because her blood pressure got up too high, so remember her. And Brenda Moses, my niece, is having kidney transplant on Friday. Her mom won't be able to be with her because she has the flu. She has the virus, so remember my sister Eva. And remember Brenda and Brenda's daughter, Christian, the one that's going to be given the kidney. And remember my nephew, Norman Tilley, that's been told that he has cirrhosis of the liver. Let's pray that God gives him a miracle. He's got two little twin girls to raise. And remember Harold Hooper's brother, Kenneth Hooper, that has cancer. Jean Pierce has been sent home to die. The doctor said they can't do nothing else for him, but we know that God's able to raise him back up. Just remember the Pierce family. Brother John, how are you? Your two grandchildren doing? Two grandsons?
They're still holding up, sister. Yeah, they're still holding their own. They're still doing pretty good. They've survived for a long time. The 18-year-old, he's had two cancers. He's had, he's real resilient. Their mother has multiple sclerosis. So, in my daughter's family, her daughter she had a daughter that passed away with Tay-Sachs disease. So, every one of the members of her family, her daughter and her two sons and herself, have all been. Had either a rare disease or sickness, but they're resilient. They've been holding on, and they told when my granddaughter was born, she had a Tay-Sachs disease, which actually is an enzyme deficiency in the brain, and it's usually most of it is through the her father had of Jewish descent. So, but we just praise the Lord that she lived to be almost. 4 years old, and they usually live to 4 or 5 years old. Actually, my grandson Ricky, they said with the disease that he has, they don't live to be very old either. But he just turned 12, 13, so he's doing real good. We just praise the Lord for what they're doing. Also, I guess while I'm on there, we need to remember Robert Chung. This is brother. Lee and Sister Heather is their Sister Heather's mother's fiance, and he's in the fourth stage of cancer. We just got to notice that he has a problem on his back, and it's spreading real bad. And also, the reason Robin's not on tonight was her children's father has had a heart attack, so we just need to remember them in prayer. The brother up in Indiana that he's asked, I won't say his name, but he's asked that his wife would return back to the Lord and come back to God, and that she would come to church. And also, Keith Huckabee has bladder cancer, but he's on the road to recovery. We praise the Lord for that. Randy Carnell is in hospice in Warm Springs. Ronnie Cato has throat cancer. Joe Reilly has colon cancer. His mother has rheumatoid arthritis and a problem with the spine. And let's remember our daughter-in-law, Wanda. She's supposed to go in Thursday, and all goes well. She's going in Thursday. She's pregnant with our 18th grandchild. So if all goes well, our 18th grandchild will be born on this Friday. But also remember... I guess that's all I have for right now. So just remember all these prayers and lift them up.
Okay, we sure will. Brother Kevin Miller asked everyone to pray for him and his family and pray for his mother that has cancer. And remember Brother Yearwood, he needs a miracle in his body. The doctors called this morning and told us to bring him to the hospital and to admit him on Friday. So we have to be up there at 7:45 in the morning. So just remember him.
Sister Betty?
Yeah.
It's Sister Green. Remember the Green family. Keith Green passed away on Saturday night, and we sure appreciate everybody's prayers that have been praying for him for the last almost 2 years, I believe it was.
Okay, we hate to hear that
he passed away, but
we'll be praying
for you, sir. And Sister Gladys, just go ahead and obey the Lord, and we'll pray. We got 11 minutes, sir, and if you go off, well, we can pray after that, but anyway, God knows all about it, so just remember me there on Friday. I don't know what they're going to do, but God knows. They think I've got an aneurysm in my stomach, but I know who's got it all under control. So just go ahead and obey the Lord.
Well, Brother Yearwood, I'm not going to take up too much time. I apologize for being in late, but, you know, sometimes the enemy can hinder, but he can never stop. I glorify my God, and it's like Sister Green said, I praise God that there was someone that took the time that said, come see a man, and I glorify him today because he is the one that created me. He makes me who I am. He wakes me up each morning and puts breath in my lungs. I give him glory and honor right now because if it wasn't for him, I couldn't even walk upon this surface of this floor in my home. I praise him that I can worship him and lift up my hands because there was a time in 2007 I couldn't sit up and I couldn't even walk for more than 10 minutes. But praise be to God, I'm no longer in those shoes no more. He's the healing God, and I know that he hasn't stepped off the throne, and I'm believing for a miracle for you, Brother Yearwood. I know and believe that when they run those tests again, that they're not going to see what they saw before. You know, we've got enough believers on this broadcast to come in unity, in one mind and in one accord, to know and believe that God will have his hand, and he will touch you in the midnight hour, and what was there before won't be gone. It will be gone in the mighty name of Jesus. Yeah. You know, we've got the authority in the name of Jesus to cancel out what the enemy's assignments are against our bodies. I come believing before the Lord in his throne room this night and speak it into existence right now that he's going to touch your body. I pray for the angels to be dispensed upon in your room tonight, that they will hover over you in ministry. Healing angels will be in your room. So don't be surprised if you see one. I serve a living God. You know, when they say you will die like they did me in 2007, they spoke over me and said, you shall live and you shall not die. You know, if we stand on those scriptures, what God gave me, there's power in life in the tongue. And I'm going to speak life into your body. And I'm going to speak that surgery won't be so. And I'm giving glory tonight. You know, I don't know what they covered in scriptures, but I know this much. This broadcast is going across the airways, and if we don't serve any other goal, I want people to understand that they can lean on Jesus, and they can have the Holy Spirit guide them and lead them and let them be in the presence of the Lord God that we serve, and I praise him tonight. And I'll just speak this scripture. You know, sometimes you have a lot of things go through the day, but I'm going to say this one. Says on John 1:12, it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You know, I'm a son of God. I may be a woman, but there's neither male nor female when it comes to the Spirit. I glorify him for that. Romans 8:28, I'm going to speak this to anyone and everyone that has a problem tonight. Brother Timothy, listen to this. He said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You know what we're facing today? We don't have to face tomorrow. God can wash it away, even though the enemy means for bad things to happen in our life. I intend to walk uprightly before him, and I know good things will come about for us. And I'm not going to go on into my scriptures, Brother Yearwood, but I praise God that for you allowed me to be on this broadcast. I thank him and magnify him. And in Psalms 145, I will say this one. Verse 18, it says, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He's a good God. And I know that there's all scriptures are meant for our good, and they're meant and encourage. And like I've said before, the book of Psalms, my Bible, is marked up. So while you're praying, I want to give you plenty of time, Sister Betty. Remember John Loveland, he's a brother in the Lord, and I told him every time I got a chance, I'd mention his name. Remember my Uncle Gary, my Aunt Jo, and remember a sister in the Lord. You know, sometimes people think, well, praise God, I'm healed. They think they can sit at home. But God said, you need to serve him, or a worse thing will come upon you. Now, her numbers are back up. I'm not judging or criticizing. I pray that she'll lean back on Jesus and know who her healing is. But go ahead and remember my family also. I'm going to turn it back over to you, Brother Yearwood.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful word there, Sister Gladys. Now, I want you all to remember Sister Betty. She's she about come unglued this morning whenever they called her and told her that I had an aneurysm in my stomach. I didn't know what was going on. She started squalling and crying and going on. And I finally found out what it was. I they got off the phone with her. I told her not to worry, that the Lord had it all under control. So
amen.
I know it worries her, and she's worried about it because she loves me and I love her. But, you know, I believe that God got it all under control, and I believe that whenever Friday morning comes, I believe that I'm going to be made whole. I don't believe they're going to find anything wrong. Because
amen.
I'm trusting the living God that said that he took 39 stripes on his back for my healing, and I'm believing God for that. So just go to the Lord in prayer and take all these prayer requests to the Lord.
Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come before you right now. God, we just ask you, Lord, that you would ever request. Father, Lord, you see the ones, God, that's out there, Lord, that's lost. Lord, that don't know the way, Father, but Lord, we just ask, God, that you would lead them. God, that you would deal with them, Father. Lord, that you would. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, that you will say that so God is so near to you. Father, without any hope, without any hope, God, we just ask, Lord, that you would touch them and that you would save them. Sanctify them and fill them with the Holy Ghost. Lord, we just ask, God, that you will show them that sick and afflicted. And God, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor, Father. For it all, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that you're going to heal them, that sick, Lord, that you're going to make them whole, Father, because you took 39 stripes upon your back, our healing, Lord. And we give you the praise and the glory and honor for us. In Jesus' name, hallelujah,
hallelujah. From out there tonight, Radio Land, Father. God save lost souls and bring them in, Lord. And God, your grace, your mercy, will multiply it upon them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you and praise you.
God, your name, Lord.
Lord, what you're doing, Lord, tonight.
Thank
Jesus.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for meeting me. Jesus' name.
Praise
Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother John, go ahead and tell us about your church there and the services and things there.
All right. My church is in Zion Tabernacle. I'm the pastor of it. It's in Thomaston, Georgia. It's 114 East Main Street, Thomaston, Georgia. We are. We have services on Sunday morning. We have Sunday school at 10. Morning church service at 11. We have evening at 6 o'clock, and then on Wednesday evenings we have our 7 o'clock midweek service. So if you're in the area, come and be with us. Amen. We just want to welcome you in the name of Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord. Okay, Sister Joanne, Brother Clint, why don't you come in there and tell us about your church there?
Yes, we go to it's 6898 Middletown, Germantown Road. It is in Madison Township, Ohio. Our services are Sunday night, Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning. Sunday school is 10 a.m., and morning worship is 11 a.m. Brother James Maggart, Sister Kitty Maggart are the pastors. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. So if you're out in them areas where they're announcing these services, that's going to be with them. So, Sister Gladys, come in and tell us about your church.
Ours is called Abundance of Rain, and it's on U.S. 60 at 6367, and that's State Route 60. And we have morning services on Sunday at 10 and morning worship at 11 with preaching that evening. On Sundays we have service at 6, and Wednesdays midweek services starting at 7. Everybody's welcome.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. So I'll let Sister Betty tell us about ours.
It's called the Way of the Cross Tabernacle, 117 Washington Road, Sweetwater, Tennessee. If anyone's in that area or surrounding areas, come on out and be with us. We'd be glad to have you. And Sunday school at 5 p.m., 6 p.m. worship, and 7 p.m. on Wednesday.
Praise the Lord. So come on out and be with us in these services, and go out and be with Brother John and Sister Gladys and Brother and Sister Green. If you're in these areas where we've mentioned that there, and just worship the Lord in spirit and truth with them. And I know the pastors will appreciate you coming out and being with them. So we've got about 26 seconds left, so I'll just say good night to everybody, and God bless you, and keep us in your prayers.
Good night.
God bless everybody.
Good night.
God bless.
God bless.